Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another hopefully thrilling, also and hopefully less tension-filled episode of the Role Less Taken Roulette. I'm your MC, Mike, and I didn't have to do much last week because I listened to my party attempt to not implode. Party, how are we feeling?
As we discussed earlier off microphone, we're feeling like if Ross gets hit in the head with a crowbar again, it might lead to bad things, either for Ross or Bear or both. Other than that, I think we're feeling like this is going to be a much more lighthearted episode of the podcast.
Hey friends, my name is Megan and I play Bear, and I leveled up last time, and to kind of go along with Tom, I thought about picking a move that would allow me plus one harm whenever I did damage, but I'm afraid I might kill Ross if I hit him again, so I'm refraining.
Bear's not sure if she wants to play Murder Ball just yet.
We'll see what happens on the next level up.
Yeah, after Ross is already dead and in the ground.
I'm Graham and I play Finch, and I feel just fine about everything that happened last week.
I'm Perry. And I play Lemon, and I'm still recovering from the emotional coma of last week.
I hear that.
So first, let's do a tiny bit of housekeeping and say, Bear leveled up. Bear, what are you taking for your level up? What you doing?
After discussing maybe taking a move from another playbook, I've just decided to bump up one of my stats, and I've increased harm by one, and I'm maxed out right now. Well, I guess indefinitely.
So you now have a plus three hard modifier.
I do.
Forever. Boy, it's going to be fun for whoever does the recap this week. Let's roll those bones. Let's hit that d20. I rolled a 16.
I got a 10.
I got a 15.
I got 11.
I got a 7.
So, Finch, from an outsider's perspective, what happened last week?
Lemon started the whole episode in a cage. Finch went down and used his new deep brain scan powers on her to get some very personal information out of her without actually asking questions, because his questions didn't work. Bear and Ross joined Finch in the basement. They tried to get more information out of Lemon, who was a little bit reluctant to share some personal details. Things got very, 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 very tense. Eventually, Lemon started giving some of the information out, but not quite all of it, and Ross got more mad, and then Bear hit him in the head with a crowbar, so he turned into evil Ross. There was some shooting, I think mostly at Lemon, and eventually the situation de-escalated, and they got Lemon's house steward, Alistair, to the infirmary. And Ross got set up in his new powers as the king of town.
No one can see in audio world, but I was grinning to ear at the fact that Ross is the king of town, because I still think that it's hilarious.
It's fitting. It's very fitting.
I do like that Ross starts as a humble cult leader and slowly is like worked his way to like drug kingpin and now like
king of
mayor
town.
Of town.
First you'll get the money.
You're like an anime villain.
Then you'll get the drugs.
Humble beginnings.
Then you'll get the women.
Yeah, they like to crack you upside the head with a crowbar.
That's true.
I think the other one's going to smother you in your sleep.
We ended last episode with, I believe, Bear and Lemon going to the infirmary. Ross was just hanging out in his new digs, I think. And Finch was, like, perched on top of the well because it was the highest point he could get to. And he was trying to be the Dark Knight.
The littlest Dark Plague Doctor Knight. The littlest Dark Plague Knight.
Ross sent some folks to go with to the infirmary and just set up shop himself in the house, tidying things up.
Does anyone want to volunteer to do their thing first?
Finch is ready to make a terrible decision.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Oh, good. Okay.
I forgot we talked about this. And by the way, we talked about this.
Yes.
Okay.
But yes, Finch wants to open his mind to the psychic maelstrom and try to find out anything he can about the vessel.
Okay. Make yourself a roll.
It's gonna be a weird roll.
That's right.
It's gonna be an 8 plus 3 is 11.
Okay. Give me one second here. I'm looking something up. Hooray!
No. Unacceptable. No off the top of your brain.
No, there is. I'm about to do some stuff off the top of my brain. Give me a minute.
No.
So, fill your harm clock up to the 11 o'clock segment.
Okay. The 11 o'clock?
Ooh.
Yep.
Okay.
Leave one part of it blank.
That sounds about right.
We talked about this.
Finch, your life has just become untenable. So you have to take one of these choices. You can come back with -1 hard, come back with +1 weird, change to a new playbook, or you can die. It's up to you.
Well, I can't really come back with a +1 weird because I already am at my max weird.
Right.
So do I have to choose one of the other ones, or can I just like have that as a gimme?
I'll allow you to take that as a gimme. You won't get a +1 weird, but you can fill that circle in to fill out that option.
Hey, because at the moment I'm not really liking any of those other options.
Okay. I mean, death is an option. It's there.
He chose death. And on that day, the Dark Knight fell from the tower. From no discernible cause.
I'm making it so you don't fall into the well, at least.
That's something.
That's a kindness.
Have you chosen your comeback with +1 weird?
Yes.
So that was a success. I mean, you got an 11. So your mind fills up with just an empty room. It's dark, it's barren. It's basically just a stone chamber with a lot of dust on the floor. And in the middle of the room is something. It's kind of a statue, but you can't really tell. You can't get a good glimpse at it. You try to focus on it, and your eyes just glaze over it. Anytime you start to focus on something, you're like, oh, maybe that's a foot? No, no, okay. Oh, hey, wait, no, there's a hand, no. And you just can't focus on it. Your mind cannot comprehend what you're looking at.
That sounds about right.
So Finch is now lying unconscious in the middle of town, very, very hurt.
On top of the well.
You fell off the well.
Okay.
You lost balance from your perch.
Okay, that's fair.
Worst Batman ever.
Come on, Dark Knight. The city needs you.
Also, you have that much harm. You need medical attention or you will not recover from it naturally.
Okay.
All right, who's next?
That gave me the warm fuzzies.
Great start to an episode, gang.
Remember last week when I mentioned I was afraid that Ross was going to try to do that to try and, you know, paint the vessel or whatever. The same thing would have happened to you.
I have been trying to talk Graham out of this all week. I'm like, you don't understand.
I'm still not saying Ross isn't going to do it, but a real artist needs to see what he's trying to paint if he's never seen it before.
That's true. All right. Are we going to go with Lemon and Bear to the infirmary then?
Is anyone aware of what's just befallen Finch?
I don't believe so,
nope.
No.
Not unless somebody walks past me, like, on the street.
Okay. I mean, if any of the happy little people found him, they would certainly try to help him, but they're not actively looking for him because they don't know what's going on.
We'll see what happens.
Epic shrug!
The big meh?
Bear would be, like, in the infirmary, just making sure that Ross and his people didn't do anything, you know, that they shouldn't.
Well, Ross isn't there.
I know that. But Bear's just being cautious because Lemon is really the one that, you know, employed her.
Oh, we're on Lemon's side this week. That's so nice.
Listen, the night is still young.
I know, but right now I feel so safe.
It's like 11 o'clock at night. And it has been for the past 3 episodes.
Each episode's another minute.
We get like the 24 clock in the corner of our campaign. This episode takes place in the hours of 11 p.m. to 12 a.m.
Where's Jack Bauer?
The most condensed like 24 ever.
If Ross dies, Jack Bauer will be my next character.
You two are at the infirmary where the doctor, who I definitely named...
Wasn't it Mushy?
Mushy, that's it. Thanks, guys. Where the doctor is tending to Alistair and trying to get him up, basically.
MC.
Yes?
Can you paint me a word picture of what the doctor looks like? Because I don't think I was privy to that scene that Perry had with, I think, the doctor. I think she met him alone, right?
Yeah. So, I don't know if you want to call him Dr. Mushy, but you can, I guess.
Okay.
I mean, I don't want to.
He is an older gentleman who, he looks fairly average, except for the fact that in terms of his medical experience, a lot of it has come from self-experimentation.
Oh, God.
Like, half of his face is somewhat paralyzed and droopy. But otherwise, he looks like a perfectly fine gent. He's got gray hair and is dressed up in the dirtiest scrubs you've ever seen.
So on like a scale from 1 to 10, how clean is the infirmary?
1 being dirty, 10 being clean?
Yeah.
Like a 5. It's average.
So like you have a 50-50 shot of getting an infection just by being there?
It depends on the procedure.
Okay.
If there is like, if there are incisions being done, yeah, I mean, odds are more likely.
Okay.
Alistair was, his injuries were blunt force, right?
Yeah. He is not like on death's door, but he's an older gentleman, so he, you know, can't take as much beatings as, a hardy, stout woman like yourself. Your character, not you.
Hey.
Quickly, give him a beating.
I'm hardy and stout. I am hardy and stout.
You are a little teapot. No, wait, that's spout.
No, short and stout.
Classic. Yeah, you had it. You nailed it.
I have to get my LinkedIn it. Right now and just change my description. Just say I have a whole teapot.
So, yeah, Alistair is laying on a cot and Mushy is leaning over him with, like, some smelling salts trying to revive him. Because I'm pretty sure you want to talk to this guy, right?
Super a lot, yeah. I'd be giving him some small benefit of the doubt. So, like, I wouldn't just be trying to, like, revive him, but, like, if we could also... I would also currently, the instructions would be to, like, have his wounds seen to, and if, like, painkillers were possible, and...
Yeah, he's rubbing some weird, like, you know, medical goop on the abrasions and trying to wake him up. And eventually, yeah, Alistair comes to and is very confused as to where he is. I guess I should probably give him a voice, huh? Hello. No, we're not doing that.
No, under no circumstances.
What's all this then?
Can you imagine?
Who knew the southern house of Dufresne was Cockney English?
Just gotta run through what accents I can do in my head. Hold on, das bedanke, comrade. Oh God, they're all really bad.
Do Dr. Martin.
Dr. Martin's southern though. I guess it would be southern, huh? He was the most like soft spoken. Would be Santa if he was fat kind of man.
He's a very sweet older gentleman who definitely would be southern skinny Santa.
short, very short anecdote. I had a class with him where I was the only guy with like 9 other girls, but that was common at my college. And Professor Martin was late one fall day and we were like, where the hell is he? The 15-minute rule, if they don't show up, you can leave. He shows up like 14 minutes beforehand. And he's like, oh, I'm so sorry. I brought candy for everyone, but I tripped and fell, and the candy fell everywhere, and I was trying to gather it up before I could get to class. And he's got this, like, pumpkin filled up with candy and, like, dry leaves.
Oh, my God.
He's got
God. Stains
on his knees, and we're like, oh, Dr. Martin.
Oh, no.
That poor
just
sweet
the sweetest,
man.
Just the sweetest man.
Oh, my God, I love him so much.
I would have immediately started crying.
So I guess I'm going to give Alistair the Dr. Martin mannerisms.
Great, I have to interrogate this sweet old man now.
just a suggestion.
All right, yeah, so he wakes up and he's looking around blearily. Miss Lemon, where am I right now?
We're in the roulette infirmary.
Oh dear.
Some pronounce it roulette.
Some pronounce it remoulade.
Alistair, you've been gone for weeks. What happened?
Well, it shames me to say it, Miss Lemon, but I was being blackmailed and threatened by the navigators, and they wanted to get to Miss Cricket, and I just couldn't allow that to happen, so I offered myself up in her stead.
Well, that's very heroic of you. What? Is that why you didn't leave a note? You didn't expect us to come after you?
Well, I fully expected to be dead at this point. I'm very glad I'm not, I think.
What on earth could they have on you to blackmail you with?
Oh, just some things, Miss Lemon.
Alistair, if you thought that wasn't going to be the second question out of my mouth. Come on now.
Well...
We're all friends here, they already know. Well, where's the doctor? Doctor, could you do me a favor and leave the room for a second? Doctor, could we have a moment?
I just want to crank up the compression for Mushy's voice and just get real up close to the mic.
She has a habit of beating up doctors that don't leave the room at the right time, if you know what I mean.
Hey, he was an apothecary.
It was an apothecary. I ain't yet punched a doctor.
Is Bear in the room?
Does Bear want to be in the room?
I feel like Bear would be in the room, but like in a corner, sitting in a chair, scowling and trying not to pay attention.
Okay, that seems accurate. So yeah, the doctor will leave, of course, at your request.
Thank you, sir. Lemon will pull up a chair and like sit down at... I assume he's in like a hospital cot.
Yep.
Wait patiently, but expectantly.
Well, okay. So they were sending some threats to the house, which I believe is called Blackwell, because I'm a good MC.
Yes.
Yes, it
and is. I didn't know how to get a hold of you, and you've been under so much stress lately that I just figured if I could just, you know, I'm an old man, if I could offer myself up in place of you or Miss Cricket, then perhaps they would leave the family alone.
Perry is having feels. You'll need to give her a second.
Go on.
I was operating under the assumption that if, well, if they used me as some sort of collateral, it just wouldn't be a big deal. I'm not that important compared to you two.
Alistair, you know a lot of things about the family, and you've been with the family for a long time. What kind of threats were they sending?
Well, they want to kill Miss Cricket.
Well, I understand that, but, I mean, you know, obviously we'll work real hard at killing them first, but what did they want when you went to them? I saw the dried rose, so I knew something must be going on. I knew that you must have received letters from somebody. Where did they get the information?
Now that is a question that I rightly do not know the answer to. I was conducting my own investigation into the Dufresne Manor, but it turns out that I didn't have enough time to figure out who the rat was, so to speak, but I can tell you right now, there is someone there who does not have the interests of Blackwell in mind.
They're still there, we think. Presumably. Or did they know you were looking for them? Are we missing anybody? I have to get back there. I assume that they got the information from you through torture or deceit or something. Did you tell them anything else they didn't already know?
I believe I kept my mouth shut pretty well, aside from the yelps of pain and protestations of asking them to stop.
Well, here's the next question then, Alistair. What do you want to do next? Do you want to come back to the manor?
Well, I'd like to lie here and...
Not right away.
Okay, that's good, that's good. I would like to remain in service to your family, as I have for many years, and I would assume that would mean going back and helping you figure out what's going on there, protecting Miss Cricket.
How far did you get in your own investigations? Were you able to uncover anything about who might be feeding the Navigators information?
Hell no.
Well, one more question. Did you overhear anything useful while they were dragging you around? Anything about, I don't know, where the rest of them are, or when they're planning on moving?
I was moved from several towns, but as far as I know, they don't have any real information. They don't know for sure where Blackwell is. They know the general vicinity, which is alarming enough on its own.
Do they know? They know what Cricket does. Do they know what I do?
I don't believe so, but I have to imagine that they'd be fine with killing either one of you.
Well, one of those is fine with me, and the other one is less fine with me. All right, well, you just sit here and rest, and I'll let you know if we leave town. And listen, I've set up I have an arrangement with the doctor here. So when you're feeling better and you're coming back, he should have some medicine to give you that we could take back to Miss Cricket.
Well, that sounds just fine, Miss Lemon. I don't know.
You've had a very hard couple of weeks. You go back to bed now, and I'm going to spend some time with my associates and decide as what's best to do next.
So, Bear, you heard all that.
Bear's just going to remain quiet and just stare right at Lemon.
Lemon's going to go over, because her whole plan at this point is to talk to Bear and Ross anyway.
And not Finch?
I don't know where Finch is.
That's true.
Finch is dead Batman.
Finch is in a lot of trouble because he fucks off for a long time a lot of the time.
Finch does high risk, high reward, and usually gets the high risk.
Just gets, totally.
Finch is a post-Bane breaking Batman's back.
That's what I was thinking, actually. Oh, I don't have a cup. Damn.
Oh, no.
Oh!
Anyway. Well, because Ross isn't there either.
Nope.
No, that's correct. I gotta start with who I have. And right now, Bear's in the room.
Okay.
I love that you talk as Lemon out of character now, too.
Well, I'm worried that I'm gonna forget again, and that was really embarrassing for me, okay?
Harry is method.
So I walk over to Bear. Is Bear still just staring at me? Is it a glare or a stare?
It's a glare.
I thought we were on Lemon's side.
You are. We are. I am. Bear is.
Is everything all right, sugar? You look a little under the weather.
Bear glowers. It's a hard word to say when I'm laughing. So what's our next move?
That's what we have to figure out. I mean, my next move is probably to head back to Blackwell. It sounds like I have a rat in the household, and I need to correct that as soon as possible, for obvious reasons.
And what does that mean for us?
Well, you're welcome to stay here. You have a drug empire to run. My understanding is now that Ross has an empire to run, but I don't know what I'm walking into. So, as we're already partners, and I've hired you once before, and now both of you know everything, it only makes sense that I would hire you again, as backup. I have a feeling that once we find this rat, there's gonna be more shooting involved. These navigators, I think there's more of them than we encountered today.
I'd put money on it.
So would I.
Honestly, we know that Anne-Marie is really the one in charge of the drug empire here.
There she is. Anne-Marie.
If you need backup, I'd be happy to go to your home with you.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Obviously, you will be compensated. I will offer the same thing to Ross, but like I said, now that you know what you're getting into, I wanted to offer you the option. You have a choice.
I think I've got to see this through. What is that face for?
It's Perry trying to remember a word. It's like right there. It's right there.
It's Perry's jaw locking up and she's trying to fix it.
I think her brain is melting out of her ears.
Is it gefilte fish?
Sassafras. You're a woman of unusual character.
Listen, I'm not doing much good around here. The gang can take care of themselves.
Well, alright. Far be it from me to talk anybody out of a purpose. I do appreciate that offer. Thank you very much.
But, I will be compensated, right?
Correct, yes.
Perfect.
The money I am putting down on there being more navigators is the money I am putting into your pocket. I am quite literally betting money on this.
Can I bring the VP?
Of course. Anywhere you are invited, you may assume that he is also invited. Besides, I have a feeling Cricket would love to meet the VP.
He's my guiding light.
He's very charming.
And handsome. I can put in a good word for you. With the VP.
Yes, please. I appreciate that. Is it too soon? Do I get the impression that it is maybe too soon to talk to Ross?
I don't know. There's only one way to find out, isn't there?
I'm gonna find out if it's too soon to talk to our painting friend.
I just like that this is the episode that Bear reminds us that all her character really boils down to is crazy cat lady. At the end of the day, that's all it really is.
Who loves drugs and money?
Emphasis on the crazy.
Crazy cat lady. Is that better? Spelled with a K.
And many Z's.
With Lemon asking about whether or not it's too soon to talk to Ross, like the happy little people that are there just like shrugging and they're like, Ross is fine, man. He's wavy gravy, like seeds of saffron, you dig?
Wow, your followers are not as good with the imagery as the leader.
We're just on the path, man. Like, I don't know, like green is grass. You got me?
They're like level 2 out of level 50.
Journey before destination, am I right?
Yeah, man.
All right, well, in that case, I'll go see the king of town. You're welcome to come with or stay here as you see fit. I would appreciate it if a couple of you young gentlemen were to stay here and watch over my good friend Alistair.
Hey, Lucas, you want to stay here and watch over Alistair? Sure, Bertram.
Bertram.
Sounds good. do you think you could ask, like, Johnny to bring me, like, a hamburger or something? And my paints? Ooh, I could do some paints while I'm watching him. Yeah, man. We got you.
I just want this. Can we just have a whole podcast of this?
Just Tom.
Tom Stoner voices.
Nothing would make me happier.
Vaguely. The same stoner voice in vaguely different registers.
Could you get him to bring the Widdly Scuds?
Fuck yeah, Widdly Scuds, man.
So yeah, so the one that's not named Bertram will stay there.
I forget what his name was already.
Lucas.
We remember Bertram because it's a fucking weird ass name.
So on your way to, well, Ross's house, I guess, you pass by a well. Finch is lying on the ground. There's like a pool of blood underneath his head.
Why are we laughing?
Because it's an absurd circumstance.
Because he made a terrible decision and deserved it.
The littlest plague doctor attempted to take flight, and it did not go well.
He didn't fly too close to the sun. He didn't get close at all. He just plummeted like a rock.
Flew like a brick, poor boy.
Is that kid? Is he okay?
Sweet beans! What happened? Is he... I rush over and, like, check his vitals and shit.
His pulse is weak.
Hold on. Bertram pulls out a paintbrush and just pokes him gently with the non-brush end of the paintbrush.
Don't fucking poke him.
Young man, do desist with that. Perhaps it's best if you take our young friend back to the infirmary.
Question for, I guess, Graham or the MC. How big is Finch?
Kid size?
Like, can I reasonably, like bridal style carry him?
I would imagine so.
I don't know, last episode or an episode before that, you guys were all arguing about how small all of you were, which is...
I am the smallest.
The opposite of what usually happens in RPG parties. You were like, who's tallest? No, I'm short. I'm shortest. No, I'm shortest.
It's usually, I'm the biggest.
We all have, unreasonable expectations that all the other characters are taller than our character. It's some sort of psychological effect, I'm sure.
I mean, Finch is like, I don't know, somewhere between like 8 and 13 year old sized.
Lemon's huge. Lemon can carry him back. We'll just make a quick detour. I scoop him up. I walk back to Dr. Mushy's, edge the door open with my foot, and I find the good doctor.
Where do you keep finding these people?
On the ground.
This one was just lying in the road, I swear.
I poked him with a stick, but he moved.
There was so much blood.
It was pretty red. I know my colors. Red's a color.
This doesn't look good, doctor.
Who wants to give him some blood? That is not a question that actually gets asked.
Oh boy.
Thank God.
I'll help him out if he needs a hand. Like, I'll do whatever I can. I like kids.
So, I don't think we've actually ever used money in this game, but someone has to pay to get Finch healed.
Well, Lemon has... I mean, we've used just the hypothetical...
Lemon's expense account.
Yeah, Lemon's legendary coffers? Is that how you pronounce it? I've only ever seen it spelled.
Yeah, coffers is correct. Yeah.
Thank you. We use her... I've just been dipping into her sort of mythological coffers and paying for everything that way.
I mean, I guess that's reasonable, but how much money would you typically have on your person at all times, would you say? A lot?
No, probably not a huge amount, but I'm paying a local apothecary, like a local...
We're also drug lords.
That's true, we can get money.
I mean, Bear is probably kind of loaded at this point, too.
Bear will do no such thing. No,
I could get money from the boss, probably. I think he likes that kid.
Bear wouldn't have a problem paying for it.
I mean, are you really going to ask us about money while this kid's just covered in, like, blood? It's, like, red.
He could be dying, Doc.
You shouldn't be covered in red.
I mean, I would administer the service regardless if I got paid or not, but I do hope to get paid.
Fine, I'll pay the bill. I'll pay it.
You're a good person. I like you, even though you've hit the boss a couple times. That's nice.
You had it coming.
I don't know. I'm not gonna question the boss, but, like, thanks for paying for that kid.
Finch. Erase your harm clock down to 6 o'clock, and you are conscious. You wake up in the infirmary, the doctor kind of ministering to you, and Lucas and Bear and Lemon just kind of hovering.
I guess Bertram's there too.
Well, yeah, Bertram's there too because he was hanging out with Alistair, and Alistair's there. He's in the bed next to you. He's asleep though.
Hi.
What happened? I'm asking that a lot this episode. Good grief.
Nothing.
You had a lot of red on you, little guy.
Oh.
Are you the king of red?
Yes.
That's pretty cool. I never met a king of red before. Met a king of blue and a king of green and a king of turquoise one time. He was pretty cool. Do you know him?
No.
His name's Ernie. He hangs out by the corner around behind the bar and sells me some funny mushrooms. Well, I shouldn't tell you that. You're a kid.
I know Ernie. He's a good guy.
Yeah, maybe we should go see Ernie later.
I'm in.
All right.
This is what happens when Ross isn't in scenes. Tom just like, I need to be here, and inserts his other characters.
Bear goes in for a high five.
He totally high fives Bear.
You don't remember what happened? You were lying in the middle of the road. I'm just going to pick this right back up. I hope nobody minds.
Oh, I must have fell.
From the well?
Yeah.
Well, why?
What were you doing on the well?
I was thinking. I go up there to think sometimes.
This is a fine time for you to learn the skill of guile, my boy. What happened? You didn't just fall off the well.
Sonic boom!
There was a swamp gas and a light from Venus.
Mercury was in retrograde.
Maybe the VP can give you a lesson in balance.
What?
The VP.
Oh, the cat.
The VP, His Holiness.
Yeah, that guy. What's up?
Ooh, there's a cat.
He's my friend. He likes spam.
Oh no, is his personality different because, like, he got fucked up? Is that what you're doing?
No.
Oh.
He's just trying not to tell too much information.
Okay.
He's just being cagey.
Well, right, I don't quite have time for this. You just sit here and feel better.
Okay.
All right.
Are you going to Blackwell?
Well, first I'm going to go see our good friend, the King of Town.
Okay.
Why?
I'll come with you.
All right. Is that a good idea? Are you going to be falling off of any more wells?
You look all pale and gangly.
You do look rather like shit.
I can fix that. And he's going to... I'm going to try and use my crazy move where I disappear again.
What? Hold on. I see his eyes start to cross like they do right before he does it. And I'm like, hold on.
That's an 8 plus 3 again, so that's 11. So I'm going to be healed of all harm when I return. And I think I will watch and hear what's happening where I was. My two options there.
Okay. So you don't have to take your headphones off for this next scene. Hooray.
I didn't... What?
You just disappear again.
What the hell was that?
I have a feeling that we're teaching our young friends some very bad manners and possibly some worse life skills, but let's go see Ross.
Are you sure we didn't already go see Ernie?
Not yet, my friend.
Not yet, I'm afraid.
I think I need to now.
You are free to take your own diversions, of course.
Thanks, gun lady.
Ready, sugar?
Ready.
All right, so yeah, you guys are going to go talk to Ross.
To the King of Town.
Knock, 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 knock.
One of the happy little people would open the door, kind of wave everybody in. Oh, hey, Lucas. Come on in.
Does Lucas just look like his like eyes are like dinner plates? He's just like... Dude.
Lucas. Well, I mean, Lucas was there. So he's just like, meh. He's just like stoner bopping along. He's like, all right, cool. Are you guys just going to like come in?
Yeah. Bear would just walk in like she owns it.
Oh, he let us in, apparently. Yeah.
They're not like bar and entrance or anything. Just the King of Town's house. Ross is just painting in a corner. He's painting like, it looks like a swamp, like from what you see so far. Just dark, like kind of gloomy.
Your Majesty.
Oh, hello. How are we all doing? Is everything okay over at, with, what was his name? Lemon, you're the guy that was in the cage.
Alistair,
the fella who'd seen probably 1,000 sunsets. Yeah, he didn't seem too good when he first went over there. Is he okay now?
Well, I have good news, bad news, and some bad news. So I guess I'll tell you in order, shall I?
Well, the last thing I need in life right now is bad news, but all right, might as well.
All right.
Start with the boy.
I'm not gonna start with the boy. He's gonna, like, lose his goddamn mind if we start with that. Let's get the important shit out of the way.
All right. Fine. You know best.
Well, so Alistair woke up. He's doing all right. I think he's gonna be fine.
Oh, that's good. I don't know why those nihilists saw fit to... hurt that poor old man. It seemed like he just, you know, was trying to do his best for your family, and I understand that he came into some bad circumstances, but I'm glad he's gonna be doing all right. We'll have to make sure that, you know, we bring him some nice food or something from Coco's when he comes to and is doing all right. Just, you know, make sure that he's as well as a happy little rainbow after a terrible rainstorm.
I will certainly be doing all of those things. Bad news number one is that he had some inklings that there are people in my household who cannot be trusted. And it was they who told the information to the navigators that led to Alistair's detainment, shall we say. Which means I need to go back home and find out who has been telling tales out of school.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that you've got some thorns on that rose. Sometimes you just need to get out the shears and do some pruning in a situation like that. I had to do that a few years ago, you know. Not a pleasant business, but, you know, you do have to have an essential pruning in order to keep the rose bushes as lovely and delicate and perfectly rosy red as they are.
I thought we were talking about people.
I think we still are, sugar.
Oh. Well, while this is going on, can Bear search around the house for some kind of, like, wrapping paper or something that she can use to wrap up an object?
Yeah.
Okay.
You find, like, an old plastic grocery bag. Does that work?
I picture her literally peeling wallpaper off the wall.
Oh my god.
Ooh, that's so much better. Can I do that?
Yeah, you start stripping the wallpaper off to, like, the particle board underneath.
Bear's letting the adult speak and just fiddling with the wallpaper in the background.
Ross just kind of, like, looks over at what's going on and just like, oh, that's a good idea. I bet I could paint a nice, pretty landscape right there, tear all that down, get some majestic mountains going on. Ooh, I've got good ideas.
You're welcome.
So glad to hear it. But the point is, I'll be leaving very soon. Bear has decided to come with me. You have the option to do whatever you wish, obviously. If you would like to stay here and keep an eye on the business, we are all running together, that is fine. Or if you would like to come with us, that is all right, too. I have hired Bear on again, as I did before, to assist me in my inquiries, since I suspect that we shall be running into more trouble as we go along.
What about, Finch? Is Finch coming along?
All right, we'll talk about that. He says he is, but first, he had an accident. Let's start with he's fine. So I lied. It's good news, bad news, bad news, good news. So this is the bad news and the good news. I'm giving it to you all at once.
Ross's eyes are just wide with concern right now on his otherwise normally stoic face.
His fans are like, he's fine. He's awake. He's in the nowhere place where he goes sometimes. He fell. We found him in the road. We took him to the doctor. The doctor fixed him up. He's all right. And then he did that thing he does where he vanished into thin air.
Oh, well, as long as he's all right, I just want to make sure the boy's okay.
He just calls over, like, one of the guys that's, like, in the kitchen. We'll just say there's, like, one of the happy little people has on, like, some sort of battered apron and has been, like, working on cooking, like, pancakes in the kitchen or something. Aww. And he just comes over and Ross says, hey there, Norm, can you do me a favor, put something together and make like a nice, beautiful pink as you can make it. Pink is the cheeks on a blushing beauty birthday cake that we can give to our boy Finch when he pops back into existence. I know he's been through some hard times. I want to make sure that he has, you know, just a happy little treat when he comes back.
He'll be delighted, I'm sure. But the long and the short of it is, he asked if he could come to Blackwell, and I have allowed it. It's not as though I can stop him when he can pop in and out of existence whenever he wants.
Well, if you're asking my help, to be perfectly honest with you,
Ross just is kind of, like, dazing and, like, his gaze is kind of glazing over a little bit.
Take your time, Plum. We don't have to decide right this second. I'm not leaving until tomorrow.
Well, here's the thing. I understand that folks are looking for you, and folks are probably going to come looking for me and my people. And I can't have them coming after my people to get to you, so I'd rather nip the problem in the bud going with you and taking care of it. I just want to be sure that this time, you see him, like, rub his head. I don't get hit with a crowbar or any surprises, for that matter. I want... You ever look out at a meadow, a beautiful, nice, sunny day, or what a meadow used to look like, at least, where it used to be nice and green, and you'd have wildflowers of lilacs and orange and orchids and all sorts of leaves in bloom. You come from a house that has all sorts of books on history and culture. I'm sure you've seen the beautiful paintings of the old masters. Just think of one of those sceneries and envision the light coming in and the harmony in that beautiful scene. What I want, if I'm going to go with you, is not to come upon that scene, but for us to make that scene as much as we can amongst ourselves and not be, and he just like points at the canvas he's been painting with the swamp on it, the gloomy doom swamp where Ross gets hit in the head with a crowbar.
Is that the title of the painting?
As Ross is talking about being hit continually in the head with the crowbar, Bear turns around with this like crudely wrapped thing and walks over to Ross. You know, being that we might be working together again, I have a peace offering, and she hands it to you.
All right.
It's wrapped in your own wallpaper.
What is it?
It's the crowbar.
Oh my god. Ross looks pleased.
I appreciate what this means.
That is a very beautiful gesture, and I don't think I could have expressed it any better myself. I do promise that we will, if we do come across any surprises, they will not be of my making.
All right, I'm going to hold you to that, but let's just put everything as water under the bridge for now, shall we?
Agreed.
Finch is there, just in ghost form.
Mm-hmm.
He's a force ghost.
I'm sorry I rambled there for a while.
It was beautiful. I loved it.
I just assumed that you missed Ross and...
I had to dive back into that.
Yeah.
I had to try and find ways to work colors into things. That's all. Sometimes it takes me a while to get to a color or a scene.
So, as you're all just hanging out, making peace with each other, I guess, there's a fun big explosion from outside.
God damn it.
And next time we'll talk about that.
Hello, this is Tom, aka Ross Roberts. Just saying thank you for taking some time out of your day to listen to our podcast. We really appreciate it here at The Role Less Taken, and just want to encourage you, if you're interested, to follow us on our social media pages on Facebook and Instagram at The Role Less Taken, or on Twitter at Role Less Taken. Of course, role spelled R-O-L-E, because we are sly, punished people. Also, just want to again say thank you so very much. If you're comfortable and you feel like you've enjoyed the podcast, we would encourage you to leave a nice, happy little rating for us on any of those podcast distribution channels. And if you're not happy with us and you would like to let us know why, of course you can talk to us, yell at us, scream at us, paint a sad little tree, and leave it to us on any of those social media channels as well. Again, thank you so much. Looking forward to hearing from you. Bye.